In association with Newsarama, welcome again to Word Balloon, the comic book conversation show. This is John Suntress. It's time for part three of the Bendis tapes. Brian Michael Bendis and myself talking in the late hours of a Monday night and just going over his questions that he gets at his Jinx World message board. We're still on the first page and we're in hour three of this conversation. God only knows how long it's going to go, but some funny stuff about things coming up in a lot of Brian's books for Marvel Comics and Icon Books, and we hope you enjoy them. Part three is on its way. This episode of Word Balloon is sponsored by InStock Trades at InStockTrades.com. InStock Trades offers a huge selection of trade paperbacks, hardcovers, essentials, showcases, archives, absolute editions, omnibus editions, and more, all at up to 35% off with orders over $50 receiving free shipping. And don't forget to visit InStock Trade's sister site, Discount Comic Book Service, at dcbservice.com for all your pre-order needs. Major publishers are 40% off, and monthly specials are 45 to 75% off every month. Visit InStock Trades at InStockTrades.com and Discount Comic Book Service at dcbservice.com. Without further ado, here it is, part three of the Bendis tapes. Dr. Blasphemy.
Who, congratulations, is now a real doctor.
Really?
Very put off about me saying that I don't think he's a real doctor, and he did get a doctorate.
One, when I first met you years ago, you were so opposed to video games and how they suck up your time and kill your creative. You seem to love them nowadays. Why the change of heart? I hate them and what they do, but I can't stop playing the damn things myself.
What it should be is, dear you, I love to take your words and throw them back in your face and watch you try to crawl out of the hole you dug yourself. Your turn. Yes, I did at the time say that, and I have had a change of heart. Much like I've had a change of heart on Coca-Cola and other things. My rationalization is they are part of how I make a living. but also I do think that over the last couple of years they have elevated to a place of genuine social awareness that it's not just games or like, they're, you know, gatherings, not unlike these boards, you know, and it's cool, man.
No, that's cool. That is
cool. It's getting to a point where, like, true artists of the medium are going to, you know, are going to birth soon. You know what I mean? Like, people who have really elevated it to something more than just people shooting at each other.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to have some superstar names of artists and writers that have really elevated the medium. And I'm excited about it. And I know some of those people. And I'm jazzed. And I see less of comics and video games in direct competition with each other, which they were, and more of them being of the same cloth.
No, I understand, and I've been interested in watching you guys cross over to that world as well, and seeing guys like Brian Reed come from that world.
Perfect example, Brian Reed.
So, yes.
I met Brian Reed at the Ultimate Spider-Man meetings. I knew 5 seconds in, he is one of us, man. And he got his Ms. Marvel gig all on his own. I, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But I did say, hey, you know, I'm always on the lookout for the dude, you know? And I said, there's a dude. It's gone in a much better way than it could have gone. Yeah, as I was bitching earlier about Hollywood, you know?
Sure.
It could have easily gone to shit, and right now it's in a very, very good place.
No, I think it's a medium that will grow, and I think it's interesting as these kids become adults and stuff, where the medium goes.
Exactly. We're at the precipice.
No, this is the golden age. Absolutely. As a father of a 14-year-old daughter, I'm losing my freaking mind with all these little punk-ass boys hanging around my house and her.
Oh, yeah, I'm not looking forward to that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hi, Mr. Bendis.
Yeah. No, I'll tell you, and Dr. Blasphemy will know this. That's the first time that sentence has ever been said out loud. This age, 4 and a half, is the greatest age. I'm the funniest fucking guy. I mean, I had her laughing so hard earlier tonight, she almost fainted.
Aww.
I mean, just simple, I mean, laughing her ass off. Like, you can't get that reaction out of anything. And I turned to my wife, I go, 10 years from now, I will do the exact same thing, and she'll tell me to go fuck myself.
Hold on to the memory, kid.
Yeah, I know. I said, let's enjoy this moment. Yeah.
Where the hell is Geraci's Pizza?
Geraci's Pizza is in Cleveland, Ohio. It is in University Heights, Ohio. It is awesome. It is near the campus of John Carroll University. And as soon as my mom comes to visit, I will get more Geraci's Pizza.
Is that the best pizza joint in Cleveland?
It's the best pizza joint in the world, and I've traveled.
I'm from Chicago, but okay.
I was in Rome last month, motherfucker.
All right.
Yeah.
Roger and me, not the Michael Moore movie, but Roger from the board and I, filmed a short film about superheroes called Bastard Squad.
Wait, if you're from Cleveland, Doctor, you can fucking look it up on the goddamn internet.
I'm going to send you a copy of Bastard Squad if that's all right with you.
Oh, yeah, send.
If you had to be stuck in a car driving across the country for 24 hours with one of the following, who would you choose it to be? Bigfoot, Beetlejuice, Eric the Midget, Ralph Sorello, or John Byrne?
It would be John Byrne. Because that conversation and the awkward silences would never not be entertaining. I don't like the Whack Pack. It's my least favorite part of the show, of Howard's show, even though Eric the Midget is gold every time he calls. And I actually know Ralph Sorello. He's friends with Joe, and I've had long conversations with Ralph. So I've actually had talked to Ralph where I couldn't get John Byrne on the phone if I don't know what.
Okay. What's gayer, Mac and Oming, arm wrestling, or listening to the soundtrack to Xanadu?
I don't know, the neck and neck.
Can you put me in your top friends on MySpace? You're in mine, after all.
Well, can I put him in my
top
friends?
Yeah, blasphemy. Silence.
What?
I guess
not. There's just something wrong with the connection. Go on, yeah?
Yes. Take it easy and come home to Cleveburg soon.
Yeah, don't think so, but okay. Move out of there. I was there recently for a wedding. Get out of there. I was just talking to Drake about that today. We were talking about Cleveland, and I said, you got to go back just to see it looks like a bomb hit it.
Wow. Joe doesn't care. What are you playing on your Xbox 360 right now?
Ridiculously, I have been playing a lot of Geometry Wars. I don't know why it soothes me so much. I have been doing a lot of World of Warcraft lately. I haven't been on my 360.
Was there anything Bungie or Microsoft wouldn't let you do with Halo?
Master Chief can't kill one of the prophets just to get an erection. That was my joke until I got the glass. You know what? I kind of knew going in what could and couldn't do. You can't crack the armor. I didn't know that. Master Chief's armor can't crack. That was the one that shocked me. I thought he did crack the armor sometimes. But most of it, you know, you do your research and you kind of know where it's going. So, you know, there was no need to ask for gratuitous sex scenes or anything. You kind of knew that was going to go.
Sure.
Yeah, it's a waste of time.
What business does a bald man have at cutting Joe Quesada's hair, although he spells it a ballad man?
I believe that therein lies a joke.
Whoa. You're right. You're like John Wayne in The Shootist. Are you okay? I feel like Roddy Howard.
No, I'm more like
Clint Eastwood in Honky Tonk Man.
Who is Jessica Tandy's husband?
Hugh Cronin.
Hugh Cronin and the batteries not included. Thank you. Just redo that thing as a joke out.
I'm here for you.
All right.
Did you cry when you heard Xanadu was going to be on Broadway?
I cried for, you know, pop culture.
but a part of you was happy that Cliff Richard would be seeing a check from it. Come on.
Sure.
Best summer movie you've seen?
I'm going to say Ratatouille.
Yeah, okay. How did you?
Surf's Up's a surprise. I forgot Surf's Up. Surf's Up was a surprise. Not ha-ha funny like a Shrek movie, but genuinely more artistic than a movie you expect a movie like that to be.
Than Surfing Penguins would lead you to believe, okay.
It does something very interesting with the voice acting that you haven't seen in a lot of movies like this, and it's very innovative with its use of images.
All right.
But I will tell you that there is a scene where the Jeff Bridges penguin has to pee on the Shia LaBeouf penguin's foot because it's poisoned. And boy, did I have to have a conversation with my daughter about that. That doesn't mean you can pee on your friends if you think there's something wrong with them.
Honey.
I am doing Bill Cosby material all night tonight. I'm sorry.
That's all right.
I apologize.
How did you come up with the name for Luke and Jessica's baby?
You'll find out in 2 issues. Nice try.
After World War Hulk, how long of a gap will there be between the next Marvel, big Marvel event?
I don't know. You see, I'm getting annoyed with this event shit. It's like you, it's shit happens. It's cool when shit happens in comics.
Yes.
Don't you want shit to happen?
Yes.
So you're buying, you're spending $2, $3 on it, whatever the hell it costs. You want something to happen. So there will be more stuff happening. Yes.
You can argue that 3 events are going on right now with your Skrull revelation, Cap being killed off, and World War Hulk.
Yeah, I guess, yeah.
So
yeah,
lots
I know,
of shit's
I know
happening
it's,
right now.
It's a lot going on, but it's a lot of good stuff going on, so who cares?
And I guess there's an X-Men event coming up shortly.
Yeah, it did real well. It's already launched. Yeah.
There you go. How long have you been aware of Cap being killed off, and what was your feelings on the subject?
I knew, then I was there at the birth of that idea, and the question comes up, what stories get to be told if you do that? And I liked everything I heard. And I liked what it does to my book, too, a lot. It gave it a gravitas. You know what I mean?
Yes, I do.
It's hanging there, and I was like, oh, I love this. And being the author and co-creator of Powers, I tend to really like analyzing a story from a dead superhero's point. You know what I mean? Like,
sure. Kill
the hero and then analyze it. So I've been doing that for years. So getting the opportunity to do it with Captain America, ugh, juicy.
I'm with you.
That was a little funny, I thought.
Did you think Brubaker would catch Hawkeye level flack for killing Cap off? What did you think the backlash would be, if any?
He got the. Well, see, it's funny. That's another one where I thought he didn't get any, and then he was at my house a couple weeks ago, and I said, "It's nice that you didn't get any. Who needs any?" He goes, "Do you really think I didn't get any?" Like, I only read what's about me. Like, that's I've done that with other writers where. He said that to Jeff Johns a couple years ago. I said, well, you don't get half the shit I get. He said, seriously? Do you really think that? Are you out of your mind? I go, no, do you? And he goes, I don't go to DC board, so how would I know? You know?
Yeah.
And so it's funny how it's just perceived. So, yeah, I guess he did get his shit. But I got the Hawkeye shit because I was, you know, here's the difference. If I would have been on Avengers for a year and then killed him, you know what I mean? Then you've earned it or whatever. You know, he's been on the book for 2 years. So there's less shit. And there's also this, will they bring it back? Who will be Cap? There's a lot there that's a lot of fun to have that people focus on more than the actual death.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So I came in, killed him right away. Hey, fuck you, Bendis. And that's how it is. So, you know. So, yeah, and it's true. And I knew it when I did it, but, you know.
Well, there's always a plan, and, you know.
There's a plan. Yeah, what are you going to do?
Yeah, well.
And here's another thing, too, is a lot of people forget is, so the amount of flack you get for shit like that, there's this other thing that's even weirder to me, where people go, kill more. I love when you kill people. That's awesome. I get that all the time. I do. There's a lot of people who love when I kill people. I can't kill enough people. So.
Well, I'm all for anything that, like, disrupts the status quo. You know, anything that disrupts the status quo, that just means interesting ideas are going to come from it, so.
No, and that's always the question that follows. What are the stories that will be told afterwards? And if they're good, it happens. If they're not, it doesn't.
Worst carrier move you ever made? Carrier or career?
Who are we looking at here?
This is still
worst career move I ever made?
Yeah, I guess it's career, but you know.
Worst carrier move. I had the outbreak monkey here.
Yeah, who could forget? When you were the Western distributor of typhoid.
I had birth flu. Worst career move I ever made was I don't know. Listen, I'm certainly not. You know, everything's worked out pretty well, so it's all negligible. But I shouldn't have done that MTV show. I should have just used that effort elsewhere, you know.
I liked it better than you always claim.
No, I just know what it should have been.
Okay.
That's all I'm talking
about. All right, well, yeah, you were in the meetings, man.
It's animated, and it looks great, and it's funny, because that DVD is, like, everywhere.
I liked it a lot.
That fucking, like, every grocery store... stuff. This thing is everywhere, so it'll like live way past any other fucking shit I've ever done in my life. My name's on that thing. I haven't seen half of them.
I like the action. I always thought it looked. I thought no, Spider-Man no, looked good in action.
On that Adu Patton was the director and animated director of that show, and he's really, really good guy. He deserves a lot of credit for what he did with no money.
What's the best career move you ever made?
Listening to David Mack. David Mack's name just popped in my head, like, when that was said. You know what I mean? That was the first thing that popped in my head. I was trying to think, like, well, why David? And my art got better when I met David. you know, David introduced me. I just knowing David.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Pat Loika.
Pat.
Is it safe to assume that the "they" that Tony Stark referred to in Mighty Avengers number one involved the Skrull conspiracy?
Or it refers to Jacob Goddard and Mary Brickauer.
You had mentioned...
For five people.
What's that?
Joke for five people.
Indeed.
That will laugh.
You had mentioned in Wizard World Philly that the Skrull activities have been taking place for a long time.
Yes.
And cited New Avengers number one as a key issue.
Yes.
Does it go farther than that? Am I on the right track if I were to guess that some of the inmates could be Skrulls too?
You very well could be on the right track. That's exactly the kind of questions you should be asking yourself, and I will answer you in the work. I can't spoil the story for you.
Of course not. We've already heard the Devil Omnibus answer. Will we be seeing more Illuminati stories after the miniseries ends?
Yes.
Cool. Which are your contributions to the Marvel Universe are you most proud of?
You know what? Recently someone like made a list of like all the... Someone accused me of not creating anything new in the Marvel Universe, and then someone else created listed all the stuff I had created, and I was happy with that. You know what I mean? I was
okay.
Like, yeah, there's a lot of cool stuff. Hey, cool. Like I like Illuminati. It's just stuff where you take stuff in the toy box and do something new with it, and I really like taking those characters that could have fallen by the wayside and prop them up a little bit, like the Hood and stuff. And that's the stuff I'm the most proud of.
Oh, dude, Illuminati 3?
Like, personally proud, that's the stuff I'm most proud of.
Illuminati 3 was fantastic. Great Thanks. Secret Wars, I loved it. And, you know, I hated Secret Wars 2, and I hated the Beyonder for it, but...
I got a lot. We did get some shit for that issue, because it was every year I do one issue where I leave it up to the reader to decide, you know?
Yes.
And then people don't like that.
I loved it. And
that issue, I don't think we got nearly enough credit in this day and age. In a comic book that, you know, does as well as that comic book has been doing, to keep that Jerry Curl and that leisure suit. That was balls to the wall, ballsy, and we didn't get nearly enough credit for that. I do think that miniseries is Jimmy's best work, and I also am very, very, very proud of who I've worked with. And I mean that sincerely. I am working with the best artists in mainstream comics. And outside, and I'm very proud of that. Every day I'm proud of that.
Are you sick of the Skrull jokes yet?
Boy, that happened fast. I got sick of that. That was by Saturday afternoon, it was so.
what's the weirdest experience you've had with a fan at a convention?
Yeah, see, he was witness to it, so he wants me to tell that. But I don't even think that was the weirdest thing that ever happened. You know, it's not all that weird. Weirder stuff happened, like, in the earlier days, you know?
Like the Lou Ferrigno stuff?
Yeah, yeah, stuff like that, so.
Well, and that's it. He says, keep up the good work. Thanks for putting out good, fun comics.
See you in San Diego, Patrick.
Indeed, and I will too, man.
Dude, Patrick's a great guy.
He's a damn great guy.
John's such a stunt double.
He is. I've said that. I've referred to myself as Pat Loika's stunt double.
Okay, that's funny.
That if a heavy scene comes up, one of us takes a break and the other takes over.
That's funny.
So, John C. Let's see. Number one, I was curious about how you have stated in interviews and at cons that the Skrull plot has been cooking since the first issue and will continue for the foreseeable future in both Mighty and New Avengers. It got me thinking how you've also said that your run on Ultimate Spider-Man, particularly the Clone Saga, is the result of long-term planning and the knowledge Marvel wasn't going to suddenly kick you off the book. With the high profile and sales that Avengers is enjoying now, thanks to Civil War, yourself and Dan Slott, I can't imagine Joe Q turning around and saying, Bendis will never work for Marvel again. Is the Skrull story going to continue on like the ongoing clone plot, or is it going to have a more immediate payoff, say, Marvel Summer Event 2008?
Yeah, it has a payoff. No, yeah, it absolutely has a payoff. It has a planned payoff, or we wouldn't even bother you guys with it. But, yeah, and I'm contractually, I'm under contract, so I'm good for a while.
Having,
I completely fuck it up. I still have to work.
Having listened to the Bendis tapes for almost a year now.
Thank you.
Yeah,
John, why don't you post more?
Yeah, here.
Post six times.
That's
from the Voyage.
From Belfast. I think I have a good idea of when you started watching Battlestar Galactica. After viewing the first episode and knowing when New Avengers 31 was coming out, did you think that you would get in trouble for using the idea of a non-human civilization dedicated to the destruction of mankind by assuming human form and destroying them from within might get a few people calling foul? This is not to say I don't like where the whole story is going, as I'm excited to see where it's going next.
Well, I will tell you, when the story was out there, I had not seen Battlestar Galactica because, as I've stated in other podcasts, that it's hard to take my wife's recommendation of it seriously when she watches Farscape and whatever the fuck else he's watching. It was fucking puppets having sex, I don't know. But when this is out there, Joe Q or somebody said, hey, listen, your story's different, but just so you know, you should check out Battlestar Galactica. Day number one, you're going to like it. But the concept of taking the goofy Skrull idea and turning it into a serious threat isn't unlike how they're handling the Cylons, taking the Cylon from goofy robot to serious religious threat. So look at it, because it's different, but you should know, you know what I mean?
And right, it's out there.
Yeah, okay. So I'm watching it, and I am loving it. I love that show.
It's a great show.
All right. So what I'm saying is the Skrull idea was laid down beforehand. When I saw Battlestar Galactica, I was completely convinced that I was on the right track, because I was loving that story and love that kind of storytelling. And I'm very glad I saw it, so I can tell you gleefully that the story that will be told is not the same kind of story. And there's only similarities. And I really thought about how, well, you know, Battlestar Galactica is not the first, you know, science fiction thing that's taken something goofy and turned it into something serious, a la the way they reinvented the Klingons and Star Trek. You
yes.
know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I like that. I've always liked that. So this is my attempt to do that with Marvel stuff.
That's cool.
So, and absolutely. And as far as, you know, and there's a history of Marvel, you know, co-opting or, you know, Lord of the Rings and you know, Silver and Surfers are all the hot things for the Silver Surfer. So there's all kinds of ways where, you know, pop culture eats itself and turns something new out of it too. So, you know, even if that, who knows if that'll happen? You know, who knows?
All right.
There's no thievery going on.
Does Nick Fury know of the Skrull plot, and is that why he's been in hiding so long?
That will be, I'm not going to ruin any more story stuff, but that is a big part of what's coming up. Fury is returning. And you know how it's Skrull Fury? Eye patch is on the wrong eye. they made all these plans, and they fucked it up with that one little thing.
The offer of a pint of the black stuff is still on the table to both of you, if you're ever in my neck of the woods.
Thank you.
Thanks, John.
Thank you, Leprechaun, that lives in John Sutcher's house.
I'd love to come to Belfast. Tycho Brahe, whose name I always get wrong.
Yes, but now we're looking at somebody's crotch.
Yeah, that's. I'm guessing the parasite.
Yeah.
Thank you. Just because I've seen his crotch many a time, and, you know, there you go. Do you kill spiders in front of your child? If so, how do you explain the concept of death?
That's a tough one. The concept of death came up because of something that she saw in a movie. You know, Bambi's mom, you know, that kind of shit.
Did you read Irredeemable Ant-Man? If not, do you realize that's why it failed?
Yeah, it's my fault. No, it didn't fail. It was an excellent comic book, and not everything should be judged by commercial standards. It was a very good comic book.
Hey, here's something new. Any fear of the Marvel U becoming too much like Battlestar Galactica?
Yes, it is. Yes, it's going to become exactly like Battlestar Galactica. That is what we're doing. And Battlestar Galactica is awesome.
In light of the success of Buffy Season 8 over at Dark Horse Comics, is there any chance you and Maliv will be on Cop Rock Season 2?
I wish. Hey, listen, speaking of Cop Rock, I saw Viva Laughlin or whatever it is, the pilot, that it's the musical prime pilot with Hugh Jackman. Woo! Oh, I should say I saw the first 6 minutes of it.
And it was barely that bad.
My eyes started to bleed.
I saw a British show that sounds like that last year.
No, it is the British show.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I couldn't get into that.
Yikes.
Yee. Let's see. After escaping a sinking ocean liner, you find yourself on a life raft with Gail Simone, Dan Slott, Warren Ellis, and Paul Dini. I always love these. You haven't eaten in 4 days, and there's no sign of land. Who brings up the topic of cannibalism first? Who was eaten first?
Pretty sure Dan Slotsy first.
Sorry, Dan.
Yeah.
You gotta go.
Yeah.
Nice. Who brings it up? I'm thinking
it's not
Warren.
Brought up. It's just me and Warren give each other a look, and we both know. And
right.
And Warren says five words that haven't been spoken in the human language that immediately makes his heart stop.
Wow.
And then he's dead. And then that should carry us for a while. And I'm not making a crack about his weight. Well, you know, we're good to go.
A little slack goes a long way.
Yeah.
Is Ed Brubaker cooler
but
than you?
No, she's next.
Gail's next.
Because of those three guys, no one needs a hairdresser. She used to be, and that's not a sexist crack, she used to be a hairdresser.
I'm well aware of that.
Okay, just saying, for all those who don't know, Gail was an award-winning hairdresser who is under the delusion that Howard Stern's hair is fake.
That's interesting.
Yeah, she constantly posts about it.
That's very, I've never read that. I think that's very interesting. Is Ed Brubaker cooler than you? You seem funnier, but man, that guy oozes cool. It's
really?
The hat. It's his hat.
It's the hat. Well, I just did a contest where people had to write for Newsarama. This, it was a picture of Ed and Veronica Mars, and people had to make a caption. And over 100 people said that they made a reference that Ed looks just like Dustin Diamond. And if that's true, then... And Ed's a phenomenal writer and a very good friend, but I don't think you could use the word cool.
With Dustin Diamond.
And Shriek in the same breath, no.
No. If you could choose one person to take up the mantle of the fallen Captain America, who would it be? No fair saying a Skrull.
Why is it no fair?
I don't know.
The new Captain America should be Ultimate Captain America when the universes merge next summer. No, that's not true. That's not happening.
No, okay.
I just like saying that and then Rich as a column.
I'd like to see Bucky take up the mantle.
Bucky's dead.
Well, no, no, no. We're the Winter Soldier.
No, that's a Skrull.
Oh.
Edit that.
Do you ever get drunk with Frank Cho and sit around drawing naked chicks? Be honest.
I have not ever socialized with Frank Cho. We've never been in the same city. I've heard it is quite a thing. I'm looking forward to it.
Man, I really liked Janet as Ultron as Janet.
Yeah, you know he's doing phenomenal work.
Wow.
He's just putting the finishing touches on four this week, the final colors, and wow, it's just really great superhero comic art, man.
Very cool.
Yeah, best thing he's ever done, I think.
Do you think that Obama has a chance of becoming president? Wait, let me get into my Ted Koppel. Do you think that Barack Obama has a chance of becoming elected president? Would you endorse him if he asked you to?
I don't think he is going to become president because he's too young and he hasn't really said and done anything presidential. So I don't think I would.
All right. Do you have a favorite candidate right now?
No, I'm leaning on, but it's way too early. Like John McCain just completely fell apart today. You know what I mean? Like,
yes,
I
do.
A long way to go.
Yes, I do. And we do have a long way to go.
Yeah, we got a long way to go. And Al Gore hasn't stopped him yet.
I don't think he's going to. Lana War, how do you feel about the response that Ultimate Deadpool got? It seems his fan base is more hardcore than most characters.
Yeah, you know, I kind of knew it was coming because I didn't know it was coming. But I don't know. We had a new take, and I wanted to try it. And it ain't over for him. So he might be funnier next time he shows up. I thought it'd be cool to flip it. You know, sometimes you flip the idea and people go, wow, great, and you flip it and the people go, no, do the other thing. So,
when writing anything involving the Marvel Underworld, do you reread anything so you know the status of the Underworld? In War Crimes, we saw Hammerhead trying and failing to do what the Hood is doing right now.
Yeah, no, I was aware of that, yeah.
Okay. Will Hulkling play, or any other known Skrulls, be involved with all the Skrulls' plans?
Will Hulkling or any other? Yeah, no, it's all going to be in there, man. You're getting the King Kong of Skrull stories. It's all getting taken care of.
When writing, has there ever been anything you wanted to do but were told you couldn't by the editors?
Yeah, but it's usually because someone else is using that character or this plan for something, you know. And you just find another creative way to do it, or you just wait. Sometimes, you know, that's a good thing about being under contract is that, I'll wait, you can wait till next year and see if it opens up, you know. And believe me, with the two Avengers books, I'm sure I annoy more people about stuff like that than I don't even know about than other people do. You know, because, like, I get the hoods of the Kingpin and the supervillain, so I've, like, claimed, like, 45 villains and 18 heroes, and, I'm sure I'm more annoying than other people.
A follow-up to that question, is it true you wanted to use No More Mutants to return the Beast back to ape form?
No, I said that just because people asked me. I thought that would have been cool, but I did. I did, but I couldn't do it. Because Josh had plans, and he had his book.
Sure.
It wasn't the end of the world or anything. But see, I don't always get what I want. Everyone thinks I always get what I want.
Yes, they do.
I know, it's so funny, and in my life, I feel I never get what I want, ever. Ever. Anything, ever.
I
went to Chick-fil-A in Portland, and I got Ben Simpson posting pictures of Chick-fil-A on the site, so that's what I get.
A more laid-back question. You went to Italy a couple of months back, I seem to recall.
Yeah.
How did you find European fans?
Boy, that was a lot of fun. That was a great show. I'm filled with panic over, is it worth for them to fly me out there? You know what I mean? Because I don't know what's going on out there.
Sure.
So I was unaware that particularly me and Mark sold a lot of books up. I didn't know because I'm very Americanized, and, that's how we are because we're ugly Americans. You get out there, and it was funny. Like, me and the fam were walking around, and there was a lot of newsstands that are shaped differently than ours, and there was, like, the Ultimate Origin, the Spider-Woman Origin trade just came out. And there it was, next to Mark's Ultimate Fantastic Four, and there was, like, no DC books. And then I didn't know I was on sale here. I just didn't know. So by the time the show started, I was excited to see what the reaction would be, and it was very, very nice. It's also, shows are just different there. In Europe, you have to do, everyone gets a sketch no matter what. That's part of it. Like, if you're a writer or artist, you have to do a sketch. So I drew for 4 days. It was 2 days. It was exciting.
Wow.
Yeah, it was very, everyone's very pleasant.
That's cool.
Yeah. And, Italian women in knee-high leather boots never gets old. It's hot every time. Every fucking time. And you will love, Italian Cinema Society has their own bookstore that was in the park right across the street from my hotel.
Wow.
I went in there and almost started to cry. I spent so much money in there. They had the Vittorio Storaro books of cinematography that he was putting out.
Yeah.
I didn't know the other two volumes came out. I got all three.
Wow.
Yeah. It's so great.
Very nice.
Yeah, thank you. So it was a very good experience, and the trip there was awesome. The food sucked. Thank you.
Shazbot 2021. Will you introduce, have you thought about introducing an Ultimate Will of the Wisp into Ultimate Spider-Man?
Yeah, and one of my favorite comics when I was a kid was Spider-Man Will of the Wisp. It's on my list of things to do. Not coming this year, but it is on my list.
See money.
If I do it, it means I'm very, very, very low on the list. I mean, I'm out
close to the end.
The list is empty.
See money. Any more Ultimate Morbius for us to look forward to?
Yep.
Any Ultimate versions of Spidey villains appearing in the near future in more than just guest-type roles? Or do you feel the best ones, that is, ones capable of sustaining a multi-issue story arc, have already been ultimized?
No, I don't, actually. There's more coming, and some characters that are new, brand new, and that are not Geldofy. And there will be some offshoot stuff from Ultimate Origins that will happen in the book. Yeah, there's all kinds of stuff. And we got Ultimate Firestar coming. Very excited about that. And some villains that are, like, really, boom, boom villains that aren't Spider-Man villains that are going to make an appearance.
It's Phil Ex Machina with the very pensive-looking Robin avatar.
Yeah.
Bendis, do you subscribe to the Finding Forrester approach to writing, which is basically the idea that you write the first draft of a story with your heart and then revise with your head? Or do you structure and outline all the main points first and then put it all in a script?
I don't know how that was a Finding Forrester approach. I don't remember anything in the movie having an approach, but was that in the movie?
I don't think I saw that. That was the one with Sean Connery and mentoring the black guy?
Oh, I thought that was the one with Nicolas Cage and Alcatraz.
I don't know.
Okay. So, you leave me hanging on that thing. if you had to label it, that first thing about, you know, writing with your heart and then revising with your head, it's pretty close to what I do, I guess, more than the other thing. Now, I think structure is important, but it could also really suck the life out of something really, really badly. So, you got to be loose, you know what I mean?
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay, yes, and Finding Forrester is the Sean Connery movie about the teenager Jamal Wallace.
Is that the one where he says dog? Like Sean Connery says dog?
Maybe. I don't know. Okay. I didn't see it.
Okay.
Because he wasn't hitting anybody. I need to see Sean Connery hit somebody, and then I'll go see a movie.
Then you go to his house and watch it hit his wife.
That's true. Sometimes you have to hit the woman.
About Barbara Walters and wonder why everyone was upset.
I remember it well. Absolutely.
Did you ever hear that clip?
Oh, yeah. I remember watching
it. They played it on Howard recently. It was so funny.
Dude, I remember seeing that interview. I totally remember that. That was in the 80s.
He goes, listen, I don't just hit her. Sometimes you're in an argument, and there's no other way the argument's going to go. And that was, Barbara Walters even trying to get him out of it.
Yes,
you know?
Yes.
Well, you don't just hit her. He goes, oh, of course I don't just hit her. But after a while, you realize there's no other way to end the conversation.
What's the problem?
With the voice, yeah, with the voice.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sometimes you just got to do it.
Yeah.
What's the problem? It was good. What's good enough?
The hand is where the conversation's going to end.
What's good enough for Honor Blackman, I'm sure, is good enough for the current Mrs. Sean Connery.
Wow.
Yikes, man. I know. Well, it's the old world. Arsonist Radio. Is Darth Nihilus really a Skrull?
Yeah. See, now you love it. You love it. You didn't even hear it. You love it.
What's with this icon?
I'm Darth Nihilus.
What's with the icon book you and Maliv are doing?
It's for next year. It's not superheroes. Excited about it, but it ain't ready to talk about yet.
Okay. Yeah. If you could make one movie exempt from Hollywood remake itis, what would your pick be? Oh, I have an easy one.
What?
Citizen Kane.
Yeah, that is a good one.
That should never be remade. Absolutely.
And it will be.
Yeah, probably someday.
By Gus Van Sant, shot for shot.
I know. I know. What's that? What the hell, man? The guy makes great original movies like To Die For and stuff like that, and yet nope, got to read.
If you get a chance when it's on cable, that remake, it's hypnotic. You can't stop watching.
Psycho?
Yeah.
Really?
You can't stop watching it. It's hypnotic. Every actor, Viggo Mortensen and Julianna Moore and William H. Macy, they're all Class A actors just in this like weird kind of stage play. It's in the, like I don't know.
Yeah, I mean that is a good cast, and
you can't stop. And Anne Hayes, you know, you can't.
Sure,
stop watching.
Sure. I don't know.
No, it's horrible. They should have never done it, but it's totally hypnotic.
All right.
I don't have an answer. That's Godfather.
Do you keep a kosher house?
Yeah.
Is this your Rebbe? Like, that's our sinister radio.
Kosher house like a week when I was like 8, and then my mom goes, "You guys want Burger King?" I went, "Yeah, that was it."
What do we got to do to get Frank Miller?
I'll tell you what my rabbi was wrong about. Ham steaks and not Jewish girls. Thank you.
What do we got to do to get Frank Miller to contribute to the DD End of Days mini?
Yeah, I don't think that'll happen. So. Well,
on a scale of 1 to 10, how hard do you and I rock for doing these semi-regular podcasts?
We rock pretty hard because it's fucking 2 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, and it's 4 my time. How's that?
Oh, my God. Have we even changed pages?
No.
Yeah, let's finish this page and call it a night.
Okay. Tom G. Bendis, will any of the creator-owned projects you mentioned back in November see the light of day this year?
Yes.
Do these previously...
Yeah, you know, we're already soliciting for October in our world. So, mid-next year.
Okay. Do these previously mentioned projects lean more towards the Jinx side or Power side?
Jinx.
Okay. Will your Jewish mob story ever surface? You've stated before you shelved it because of Winnick's caper, but enough time has passed to avoid comparison. I'd love to see your take on the subject matter.
Yeah, I may one day. There's another period piece that I'm leaning at that isn't on the list of what I'm doing now that is really, really under my skin that hasn't gone away that might take precedent.
Okay.
But it's mob related.
Do you see a time in the future where you split your work more evenly between personal creator-owned books and mainstream work for hire like Vaughn and Ellis do?
Yeah, maybe. I'm much more at ease and fulfilled by the mainstream work than, you know, Vaughn and Els go through waves of loving it and hating it, loving and hating it. But I do love both a lot more. So I feel that the opportunity to do the mainstream work is a real gift. To work on these icons is a really special thing. I take it very seriously. And, you know, it's show business. I don't know how long that will last. So while I'm there, I like to do as much as I can. You know.
Sure. And he says, P.S. to me, he'd love to hear Brian K. Vaughan on the podcast soon. So would I.
Yeah.
He's busy doing Lost, and he's been great and said...
Wait, he's right here. Hey, what's going on?
Hey, Vaughn, good to talk to you.
Brian K. Vaughan.
I really love what's going on with Ex Machina right now.
Oh, good. I'm canceling it. Anything you like, I'll cancel.
Any Pride of Baghdad sequels coming up?
Canceled. Everyone liked it. No. I only do things that people don't want. As soon as you want it, it's over.
Excellent.
I love Brian.
Oh, yeah, he's awesome.
He's a good dude.
And that Lost episode was awesome that he even said, yeah, that one's got my fingerprints on it.
You know what's sad right now? Kirkman is listening to this and wishing I was making fun of him instead.
True.
Okay.
True. We love you, Kirkman.
I love him.
Joe Henderson. Hey, John. Hey, Bendis. Actually, says, hey, Bendis. Hey, John. Thanks for doing another one of these. My question, when are you going to deal with Ultimate Gwen Stacy's apparent return? During the Clone Saga, which I really dug, I found it really strange that Peter isn't trying to figure out where she went, if that's really her, etc. It's easy to say that she just got lost in the shuffle, but Peter, being a person of great power and great responsibility, I think that his guilt over Gwen's death would drive him to investigate the entire thing immediately.
This is a very good question, my friend.
Is there a reason this got pushed aside?
It all will be revealed.
Let's see.
She will be appearing in the book this year.
BCD.
She's Firestar.
Since I know you're reading this, just wanted to say thanks. Ultimate Spidey got me back into reading comics and was the first comic I read that basically elevated the medium for me.
Wow, thank you.
Oh, and John, you're awesome, too. Thanks a lot. Best podcast around for comics. Thank you, Ben. The questions. Too lazy to read everyone else's, and I'm assuming he's already asked, but what'd you think of the Sopranos finale? We haven't talked about
that. Oh, we haven't talked about it. I loved it.
Attaboy.
Loved it.
Really enjoyed it. I thought it was excellent.
Love the reaction, love the everything.
Have you had a chance to watch Friday Night Lights? Forget Heroes.
No.
Friday Night Lights is the best new anything of the 06-07 season.
This is what I hear. I probably will watch it one day. I have not watched it.
Sell me on waiting for the second Powers hardcover as opposed to continuing on in trade paperbacks. I picked up the first hardcover at the New York Comic Con and absolutely loved it. But waiting for the second is killing me.
I agree with you. That hardcover was a fiasco that I have to take full responsibility for, but honestly it wasn't my fault. But the buck stopped here. It will be coming out for Christmas this year, and I really, really, really apologize. But sincerely, I could give a shit if you read it in hardcover or softcover, as long as you read it. And I'm glad you're liking it, but the hardcover is going to be really special, and we'll have the only color Who Killed Madman story in it. The good news about not having the Sony option anymore is we're freed up to publish some stuff that we weren't free to publish a couple years ago. So that gets back into print. Yay.
Very cool.
Yeah.
He asks if anything's in the work as far as creating our own stuff. We've touched on that.
Yes. Absolutely.
Do you feel that your current place of residence in the world, regardless of where you grew up in your formative years, plays much into affecting your writing?
Yes.
Obviously, there's more warm weather for you to bike ride in.
Yeah, but I feel different living in a culturally vibrant city where a lot of other people are creating stuff. I mean, literally, I was typing on my porch, and there's like four people on their porches playing guitars, just like, you know what I mean?
Sure, sure.
And you just feel different. It still feels like college almost, you know?
Yeah.
You feel like people are doing stuff, and everywhere I go, there's just people creating and being, and it's a very politically aware city. So, yeah, it absolutely affects me. And it will be reflected in some of my creator own work that's coming up.
Do you put much consideration into similarities, such as character personalities, between different books you're writing? One could make the argument that not everyone reads everything by any given author.
Oh, sure, yeah.
So why should a well-developed character be nixed just because he or she has a similar sense of humor as another?
I don't think I understand. Do you understand?
Like, yeah, I just that? Don't. I don't see any of your characters or your takes on characters having the same shades of similarity. Honestly, I mean, I think your Matt Murdock is very different than your Peter Parker.
And, yeah, yeah.
I mean, you know, Marvel Knights is a good example of.
No, the
I
reason
think.
I write the different books is that I get to write different types of characters. You know what I mean?
Like, sure.
I think that even though I do have some writing style that you can point to, I defy you to look at Dean of Pilgrim or Luke Cage or Matt Murdock or any of these characters and go and find the similarities in their worldview, even, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And,
no, I agree.
And the reason I'm allowed to write this many books without being chased out of comics as a pitchfork is because I've specifically chosen projects that work different parts of my brain that say different things. So if you are some guy who wants to buy all my stuff, which I'll dry hump you for doing it, I'm very aware that these have to be different, you know.
Yeah, I haven't read enough of your Johnny Storm to see how he compares to your Peter Parker, because I'm trying to think of any characters that might be similar, and they're the closest that I can think of. Just but even they are very different.
But yeah, but they're young, and you know what I mean. They're just from a similar world. Yeah, so
yeah, two wise asses, but coming from different angles. Yeah,
yeah, and you know Johnny's sparkling confident, where Peter is ready to kill himself. You know,
so yeah,
even that, even if they're they're riffing off each other. Their points of view are very different. Look, Kitty and MJ, and I'm very aware of it while I'm doing it. Like, okay, what's this person's point of view of the world, and how does it reflect the scene? You know?
Sure.
So I think about it all the time, man. Especially with someone with as strong a style as I can have, you really have to be hyperly aware of the characters doing stuff.
Okay. That sounded like a fragment. Are you there? Bri? Oh, I did lose him. Hold on. All right.
So we answered that.
Okay.
Should we wrap it up or?
Yeah, we just got two more of or three more of those things.
Okay.
Any chance of coming to the next New York Comic Con, or is it too soon to know?
Too soon to know. Maybe.
Who is more critical of his own work, fresh on the scene Bendis or seasoned veteran Bendis?
Both very critical. That has been consistent.
Do you have something you consider your best work, and have you publicly stated it?
No. I do often think it's one of the things I'm actually working on right now. I'm very, very happy with Ultimate Origin. Doesn't mean you'll be happy with it, but I'm happy with the response I've gotten from my peers about it, and what it has to be and how long it's been in my head and getting it out. So that one's making me very happy right now. Who the hell knows if it'll work? I don't know, but I'm about my personal thing, and then it's usually the thing I'm working on right now. And there's other things that I've done that, for personal reasons, are very, very meaningful to me for different reasons. But, you know, I think I kind of hate when Spike Lee gets in the way of his work and tells you what to feel about it. You know what I mean?
Sure.
And I have no problem talking endlessly about all these questions, but it gets to a point where it's not up me publicly stating what I think is my favorite stuff. I think taints your view of it one way or another.
Please write something that Joe Quesada draws.
Well, believe me, I'd love to.
I've got this one more day poster on my bulletin board, and every time I look at it, I want to see more and more from him.
I agree. We worked together briefly on the Ultimate Six prologue. I have genuinely offered a couple of things to him. I was a huge fan of his way before he got the job as editor-in-chief. I loved his shit on the Ray. I was a big fan of his penciling. And I do want to do a genuine project with him. Of course, the thing is that he's almost so much he can draw, because he does have a day job, supposedly. and you just gotta pick carefully. So, and this one he's doing right now is very close to his heart. So I'm with you on that one, buddy.
I'll ask you, and I think it's probably coming up later in the.
But speaking of bad performances in the movie, that guy who's in Friday Night Lights was a shitty part of King Kong.
Didn't see either.
You never saw Peter Jackson's King Kong?
No, I'm not. You know, I am not a. I love the original King Kong, and have had, and I hated the De Laurentiis one when I was a kid.
Oh, of course, yeah, come on.
But I think that one really turned me off to any more King. I was conged out. I'm like, you can't
mess. That was 32 years ago.
I'm hip, and I understand, but I just, I don't know. I love the original so much. I'm just
that's like saying you're not going to watch any CGI movies because of Tron. That's it.
Because of Tron. Because of Tron. You've gone as far as you could go.
Yeah, that's it. I'm over it. Next.
No, I just don't give. Giant apes don't do it for me. Unless it's, you know, the great Solovar and Gorilla Grodd from the
Brad. You're not getting invited to our furry orgy. I'm not violent.
Cross me off the list. And we'll have to pause there because for now there is no more. You heard Brian coughing during the first couple of chapters of the Bendis tapes. I got sick a couple days afterwards, so we had to pause and hold off on production, but we will get back to it. More of the Bendis tapes coming up later on in the days ahead from Word Balloon. And other interviews as well. I haven't just spent my time talking to Brian. We've got other creators coming on, and we hope you enjoy it. This episode of Word Balloon is sponsored by InStock Trades at InStockTrades.com. InStock Trades offers a huge selection of trade paperbacks, hardcovers, essentials, showcases, archives, absolute editions, omnibus editions, and more. All at up to 35% off, with orders over $50 receiving free shipping. And don't forget to visit InStock Trades' sister site, Discount Comic Book Service, at DCBService.com. for all your pre-order needs. Major publishers are 40% off, and monthly specials are 45 to 75% off every month. Visit InStock Trades at InStockTrades.com and Discount Comic Book Service at DCBService.com. Thanks again for listening. This is John Suntress. Don't forget, Word Balloon is all over the internet. We're at Newsarama.com. We're over at iTunes. You may want to subscribe to our RSS feed either via iTunes, or you could go to our Libsyn site, which is wordballoon.libsyn.com. You can find over 70 episodes of Word Balloon over there as well. And we're at our MySpace page, myspace.com/wordballoon, comicspace.com/wordballoon. And, of course, if you have any questions or comments on the show, you can reach me by email, john@wordballoon.com. Thanks a lot for listening. I really appreciate it. I know Brian does, too. Word Balloon is a copyright feature of Shaky Productions, copyright 2007, all rights reserved.